secret democracy? Question mark. For several years now, the U.S. government has been operating prisons and detention centers under the direction of an executive order, or military order, signed by U.S. President George W. Bush on November 13, 2001. Bush's order established military tribunals to be used to try non-citizens with terrorism-linked charges. As lawyer and writer Barbara Olshansky and the Center for Constitutional Rights, CCR, has written, quote, with a single swipe of his pen, President Bush replaced the democratic pillars of our legal system with that of a military commission system in which he or his designee is rulemaker, investigator, accuser, prosecutor, judge, jury, sentencing court, reviewing court, and jailer or executioner. This new system radically abandons the core constitutional guarantees at the heart of American democracy. The rights to an independent judiciary, trial by jury, public proceedings, due process, and appeals to higher courts. In the newly authorized military tribunal system, all of these safeguards against injustice are gone, they write. According to the presidential military order, Bush is allowed to identify the persons to be tried in the tribunals, set up the rules of the tribunal and change them at will, choose judges, prosecutors, and defense lawyers, decide sentences after virtually certain convictions, resolve appeals, and conduct the entire process and even executions in secret with no input nor accountability of Congress, the courts, or the American people. This is essentially the erection of a secret court system that is answerable to only one man, George W. Bush. Now, honestly, how does this strike you? Not only do these events occur in secrecy and isolation, much of the evidence relied upon by the U.S. must assuredly have come from tainted and tortured sources. What we have seen in Iraq should give us some pause and some idea of what goes on in Guantanamo Bay in Cuba. What is astounding is how anyone can look at the events at Abu Ghraib prison and not to call it torture, as did Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld, who suggested, as he wasn't a lawyer, it was simply abuse. Much has been made of the Geneva Convention as the legal basis for the treatment of prisoners and detainees abroad. Since 1992, the U.S. has agreed to follow the provisions of the International Covenant on Civil and Political Rights, known as the ICCPR. As with all treaties, once this instrument was ratified by the Senate, it became the supreme law of the land under the U.S. Constitution. It is therefore the law that Bush and all major members of the cabinet and all the judges and all the soldiers swore upon to protect and defend. Under the ICCPR's Article 7, all people have the right to be free from torture and cruel, inhuman, and degrading treatment or punishment. Indeed, under the statute of the International Criminal Court, torture is described as a crime against humanity. Call it what you will, what we have already seen from Abu Ghraib is physical and psychological torture. If Rumsfeld was subjected to it, he wouldn't dare to question it. But we are at a disadvantage, for hundreds, perhaps as many as 1,000 photos are being held in secrecy. The American people, it seems, are too gentle to view what their soldiers and their intelligence officers have done in their name. Centuries ago, the philosopher Baruch Spinoza wrote of government secrecy, "It has been the one song of those who thirst after absolute power that the interest of the state requires that its affairs should be conducted in secret." But the more such arguments disguise themselves under the mask of public welfare, the more oppressive is the slavery to which they will lead. Better that right counsels be known to enemies than that the evil secrets of tyrants should be concealed from the citizens. They who can treat secretly of the affairs of a nation have it absolutely under their authority. And as they plot against the enemy in time of war, so do they against the citizens in times of peace. That's from Spinoza's Tractatus Politicus. We are witnessing the wisdom of Spinoza's insight today. From death row, this is Mumia Abu-Jamal.
commentaries are produced by Noel Hanrahan for Prison Radio.